they've done some fascinating work over the last 20 or 30 years. There are two key findings. One is that the heart actually emits the strongest magnetic field, any portion of the body, and it's powerful enough that the brain can actually get entrained by the rhythm of the heart. So they talk about concepts like heart intelligence and heart coherence. And they've got a very simple but sophisticated computer program that takes the rhythm of your heartbeat and helps to determine whether you're in this state of inner coherence. The key point there is that your heart is not a metronome. It doesn't beat with an even interval between each heartbeat, but there's a variation in this rhythm that's called heart rate variability.
Sure. And sometimes it's skip, right?
That's right. And you'll have all sorts of arrhythmias, the more adrenaline and anxiety and anger that you've got in your system. So they've perfected a very simple technique to optimize your heart coherence. Their belief was that it can spread through the magnetic field from person to person, but they'd never tested it. So we did a simple lab demonstration in their psychophysiology lab where I was the guinea pig. I was actually hooked up to the computer that was reading my heart rate variability. I was blindfolded and earplugged so that I couldn't use my five physical senses to detect what was going on. And I was sitting in my own state of relaxation and comfort. And then at some point, unbeknownst to me, the other four members of their team came in, and they sat near me in a state of appreciation. They simply switched their focus to positive emotions. And within seconds, literally within seconds, my heart rate variability pattern shifted dramatically, and I entered into the state of coherence. We have actually on our website that the research paper can be downloaded, and it shows the graph quite clearly. The significance is that I felt better emotionally, but also I entered into what athletes call the zone, because when you're in heart coherence, your mind and your body are much better coordinated. And they were able to influence me with invisible forces and intention to enter into the zone. So if I was an athlete, and the analogy is that we'd like to have 35,000 people at Fenway Park doing this state of appreciation moment so that it would entrain the players so that they could perform in the zone.
That is fascinating. How does it work, and why does it work?
Well, the theory that makes the most sense to me is that it's basically electromagnetic fields that you don't end at your skin, that our bodily functions emanate a magnetic field that extends out quite a bit, several feet in all directions. And so that when you're near other people, your magnetic fields begin to interact and form a larger group field. And I think this accounts for some of the well-known group phenomena, everything from the negative types of, mob hysteria to the positive types of group ecstasy and transcendence. It can be directed depending on our individual intention. So if enough people in a group have the intention to emit positive emotions, they can literally sway the direction of a crowd. And, we've seen that in any group situation, that if a couple of people in your work crew, for example, are negative and downers, they can bring everybody down. But if you've got a critical mass of upbeat, happy people, it totally shifts things in a positive direction. So I think the mediating force is electromagnetic fields. It starts with, intention and emotional focus, but it gets transmitted and spread through electromagnetic fields.
It really is pretty dramatic. And you also used random generators at the ballpark. How did that work for you?
Well, I can tell you what happened, but I honestly can't explain what happened. It gets a little bit weirder.
It is weird. It is strange stuff.
This is based on work that folks at Princeton University have been doing for 30-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found is that random events can be influenced by human thought. So they have demonstrations in their lab where physical objects, for example, they have a random ball cascade. It's often used to demonstrate the statistical phenomenon of normal distribution that can be influenced by people meditating in front of the array. They've computerized things now so that a software program in a computer is literally spewing out ones and zeros randomly thousands of times per second. And there's going to be normal fluctuations. You know, it's sort of like 50-50 most of the time, but sometimes 51-49, 52-48, like that. At certain moments, certain key moments, the numbers skew hugely. And they've, over the course of 30 years, found that their random event generators respond to important world events. And I know that you've had Roger Nelson on as a guest previously, and their work at the Global Consciousness Project is just fantastic.
It's a good people. Dean Radin's been on too. And
oh, yeah. Those guys have done amazing work to show that there is, in effect, a global nervous system, a global consciousness that responds to large-scale events. They talked about Princess Di's funeral or 9/11 registering on these distant computers. That's probably the weirdest thing, is that the computers don't have to be physically right next to the event. But somehow or other, you know, they talk about quantum entanglement. I don't claim to understand what it is, but something at a non-local, non-space-time level seems to be mediating these effects. So basically what we did was apply those approaches to a baseball game. Now, the Princeton folks had previously tried these and found minimal impact that they could detect because they felt there were competing intentions, much as you were talking about earlier. We used an upgraded version of their software, a program that was developed by Cygenics company in Fort Lauderdale, and which is appears to be sensitive enough that it can detect moment-to-moment fluctuations. So the setup was actually very simple. I brought my laptop that was loaded with the random number program. Mm-hmm. I set it up in the upper deck at Fenway. Fenway Park, the Red Sox officials were very helpful and let us run this study. So during the game, this particular game that we analyzed, the computer is just spewing out ones and zeros. I wasn't there, so I couldn't even see what the computer was reading. While that was happening, I was in my seat watching the game and taking notes of what time moments I thought the fans were really into the game.
Okay.
Because the idea is that when you have focused mass attention, the computers begin to deflect. So I would be writing down, for example, you know, at 9:23 p.m., David Ortiz hit a home run and the crowd went wild. And I compiled my list of 15 or 20 key moments of the game, and there are maybe four or five that I really highlighted. And the idea would be, let's see what correlates. Let Scott Wilber, the software programmer, analyze our stream of data and see how it compared to my subjective notes. And lo and behold, there were just phenomenal correlations. When we wrote it up and did the statistics, the numbers were really, really impressive. And bottom line, we found that there were that some of the peak moments of the game actually registered on the computer. And I should just mention to the listeners that there was no microphone, there were no electrodes. It was just a laptop sitting on an empty seat, spinning its wheels internally, and somehow or other, through this quantum entanglement, validating that there's a large group field. So it was interesting. The moments that had the highest correlation were, you know, one was a rally at the last of the ninth inning when everybody was on their feet, and you'd sort of expect that. But the other two moments that had the biggest peak of activity involved large-scale fan participation. One of them was the event called The Wave.
You know,
yeah, fans that do that in all sports in all countries, but it's where everybody sort of sits up and stands up and sits down in a rhythmic wave going around the stadium. That registered very strongly. And the moment that had the highest intensity of all was a group sing-along that the Red Sox the Red Sox fans do in the eighth inning. It's a Neil Diamond song from the 60s called Sweet Caroline, and the fans really get into it, and I'll be darned, but the computers picked it up.